Is there a difference between mind, heart, and soul when we're talking about Bible verses? Well, find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm very glad that you've decided to join us. On today's program, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss this interesting topic. Now, as you may have noticed, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and if you've got a question, we hope to hear from you. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to taking your questions. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're taking your questions on the Bible and theology on a broad spectrum of questions you might have. And the more I read these questions, the more I realize, man, people are just harboring all kinds of doubts and anxieties and things that really kind of shake them up. And obviously, they don't feel comfortable asking people in their church about this or asking even maybe pastors or Bible study people. And so they come to us, and I'm just so grateful to be able to do this ministry.
Yeah, I think to me, it's an important part of what we do. We write articles. We publish at 48-page magazine. We write journal articles with also book reviews, and we publish about 120-page journal twice a year.
Right.
We publish books almost every year, typically a couple of two or three every year. We do daily blogs. We're also doing some videos on Grace Evangelical Society YouTube channel, and we've got a big presence on our website, faithalone.org. But the truth is, what we do with these radio programs and podcasts, I think, are very important aspect of what we do, and it's only been the last few years we've been doing it, and I'm very pleased with how it's gone, and we appreciate all of you who are sending in questions, because they help other people. The question that one person has is the question that hundreds of other people have.
Absolutely. For example, here's a question from Ron. It's an interesting question. It's kind of a break my heart question, too. He says, I've been born again for 48 years, and I'm active in various ministries. So I imagine he must be probably in his 50s or maybe early 60s. He says, 2 years ago, I had a major fall and contracted AIDS through a one-time sin. And that's a horrible consequence for a one-time sin.
Right.
The Holy Spirit left me because of this. It seems this is the only reason the Holy Spirit would leave a believer. Do you have any advice on what to do next? I wish the Holy Spirit would have stayed. I confessed this one-time sin, but he's already left.
Yeah, now the problem I have with this statement, and I agree with you, it's kind of a break-your-heart statement, is that the Holy Spirit does not leave believers during the church age.
Right.
Once the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he remains forever. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he will be in you.
Right.
That is a statement that's true of every believer in the church age. He is in the believer.
Now, you say church age because in the Old Testament times, it seems like people would have special endowments by the Spirit for power, and the Spirit could leave them. Like David, I think about David praying, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Correct.
Because that was a possibility.
And we're told that the Spirit was withdrawn from King Saul.
Right.
And that maybe that's why David is praying that. Even there, I don't think that means that these people didn't have the work of the Spirit in their lives. They did. They were still regenerate by the work of the Spirit. They were still sealed by the work of the Spirit,
right.
But they were not permanently indwelt.
Yeah.
The indwelling would come from time to time. And I would add that if what Ron means is that the power of the Holy Spirit has been withdrawn, so he doesn't experience the power he had before, maybe. But in terms of the Spirit's indwelling, no. And how would he even know this? Because if some feeling he has?
Right. And maybe he means something more like a sense of fellowship with God or a sense of intimacy with or abiding with Christ or something.
He could mean that. But the truth is, God does not remove his Spirit from believers during this age.
Ron needs to be clear about that.
He needs to be
clear. Lose the Spirit.
Not only that, if he has repented of this and he is walking in fellowship with God now, regardless of how he feels, God is working with him, and he's in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9, 1 John 1:7, as long as he's walking in the light and in fellowship with God. But because of what he says here, I think Ron is not getting solid Bible teaching.
Right.
And so Ron may well not be in fellowship with God because he lacks clear understanding.
Right.
And the first thing I would say to Ron is make sure you know for sure you have everlasting life.
And that's by simply believing in Jesus. It's not a feeling. It's not by being faithful. It's simply believing his promise of eternal salvation.
Right. And once I believe that, then I know that I have the salvation he gives. John 3:16, I'll never perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life. John 5:24, I've already passed from death into life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come into judgment concerning my eternal destiny. I already have everlasting life.
Right.
And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, in terms of fellowship with God, believe 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and
right.
cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I was thinking, you know, maybe the problem here is really a sin consciousness. He's confessed it, but he still feels so guilty about what happened, and he's so devastating that it's affecting his emotions, and he just can't, maybe just can't believe that, wow, God really can just forgive me and cleanse me. Maybe he needs to really believe 1 John 1:9, it's true.
Exactly. And so when someone moves into a sexual sin, it's particularly grievous because, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, that's a sin against the body.
Right.
And I think what that means is, I recently wrote a blog on this, that probably refers to sexually transmitted diseases like HIV.
Right. And by the way, he doesn't say this was a sexually transmitted disease. You can get AIDS through like sharing a needle or doing other things.
You're right.
I just want to clarify. Ron did not say it was a sexual sin, but, you know, that's probably the most common way.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you can also get it from blood transfusion, not much anymore.
Right.
It used to be they didn't screen carefully.
Well, here, maybe we can talk about it this way. So instead of talking about this in terms of losing the spirit, which you can't lose, would you say there is the believer can experience degrees of intimacy with God? It's not just head knowledge, but is there a place for feeling that you are abiding, that you are in fellowship with God?
Well, this is a slippery slope because once I say yes to this, then people start saying, well, I don't feel very close.
Right.
You know, I feel like 50% or 40%.
Right.
In my own experience, I think there are times when I feel closer to the Lord than others, but I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. And so I don't put a whole lot of stock in that.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, I tend to be obsessive compulsive. And if I focus on things like that, I'm going to be looking for a certain feeling.
Right.
And some people try to gin up that feeling, right? They go to a church where they've got a lot of singing and jumping around and dancing in the aisles.
Right.
Because that gives them that feeling they're seeking.
Right.
I think that's very dangerous because now you're not really walking by faith in what God says, but now you're walking by feelings that are often generated by some odd practices.
Right.
I think singing is great, but if we're singing seven or eight words over and over and over and over again,
yeah.
I don't see a biblical precedent for that. We're to sing the Psalms.
Right.
Or if you want to write current hymns and things, great, let's sing them, but make
right.
sure they're ones that have some content.
But you would say that there's such a thing as joy of the Lord, right?
There
sure. is having the sure. joy of the Lord,
sure.
and that's a fruit of the Spirit.
Right. But I think the fruit of the Spirit, all those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they're all within the body. So they refer to my family, they refer to my local assembly.
Mm.
Yes, I experience those things personally. But I really think those are meant to be corporate.
How can a body be joyful or peaceful?
A church can either be joyful or a church can be. Remember in 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians, his first letter, caused the whole assembly to be grieved.
Yeah, but it has to be a personal feeling, right?
It is. But I guess my point is love is expressed to other people.
Right.
Or
yeah.
to God,
or
but ultimately.
Or gentleness is something
right.
you show to other people.
Right.
Or,
so
yeah.
all of that, I think, is not just me by myself experiencing. We tend to think this peace refers to me having some feeling.
Right. Well,
no,
sense of peace, right?
I think it's peace with other people and love toward other people.
Okay.
And joy shared with other people. Patience with other people. Kindness
yeah.
toward other people.
Yeah, yes.
Self-control manifested toward other people. It's not just I'm in a cave and I'm experiencing these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ron, I don't know if we answered your question. I hope we did. I hope we did. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit.
No.
You need to know that. And you are forgiven. God does love you. Jesus' blood does cover that sin. If you've confessed it, you're not only forgiven of that sin, you're cleansed of all the other sins that you're not aware of. Rest in God's word. Don't rest in your feelings.
Amen.
Basically. All right, here's a question, and we only have a couple minutes left, and this is from Adelike. Adelike asks, what is the difference between heart, mind, and soul, and how do you harmonize Matthew 22:37 and John 3:16? Now, Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then, of course, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So first of all, how do we harmonize those two things?
It's very easy. John 3:16 is talking about how we're born again by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for our eternal destiny. Matthew 22:37 is dealing with what we are to do in life, which is loving the Lord our God. All aspects of life should be like this.
It's like salvation versus discipleship. You need to know the difference between the two. It's kind of like my son. If I tell my son to clean his room, I'm not saying you need to clean your room in order to be my son. He's already my son. That's a fact.
Right.
Now go clean your room, please.
Right. To please me.
There's Legos everywhere.
Right.
And socks. And underwear and sticks.
And Legos in the socks.
And Legos in the socks and dirt and kinetic sand. We got kinetic sand.
I've never heard
this
of
this. This is the worst gift to give any kid from a parent's perspective because it gets everywhere. But what's the difference between
heart, mind,
and soul?
Basically, those words are often used interchangeably in Scripture, and I think when the Lord says, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's talking about your whole self, wholeheartedly, fully. I don't think he's trying to distinguish between these. Typically, in Scripture, heart can be used synonymous with mind or with soul. I just see this as a statement of love the Lord totally.
And you do that to live the Christian life, not to be born again.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope that helps. Keep on writing your questions to us at radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to help you answer any questions you might have about the Bible or theology. See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about those times when God opens one's heart. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.